The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Paul McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, C-File, CG Atlantic General, Commonwealth Bank, the Quadentree Convenience Store, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we're just a couple of days away from our 49th anniversary of independence. All right, we're a year away from our golden jubilee, as it were. And we'll be 50, and it's a very significant milestone that really should be cause for reflection and understanding what it is the assignment was when we sought out to carve a nation out of this part of the world for ourselves, and if we have met that assignment, and where it is we go after another 50 years, does the vision remain true? So that's what we want to try to figure out today. We'll talk about some other current issues if we can get there, but I really wanted to focus on today because we won't be here Monday. What exactly we think of our nation today, and where can we go from here? Now, the first thing is this. I ought to do what Lang does and just play music and not entertain what will likely be a lot of complaints about the government of the Bahamas, all right, and what that means for the Bahamas in of itself. And there is no doubt that the government of the Bahamas is one of the most critical factors in shaping the direction of the Bahamas. But I want to say this. I want to say that, and I want you to hear me now, the government of the Bahamas is not the Bahamas. Okay, let me explain that to you. Let me restate that for you, and I'll explain what I mean. The government of the Bahamas is not the Bahamas. The Bahamas is not the government of the Bahamas. Okay? We have drifted into a state of government, 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 government. All right? Government's responsible for everything. Government's responsible for every single thing. And a lot of that is to blame on politicians who have propagated the idea that government is the solution for everything that ails the people. All right? Now, that level of socialism where the government orders all our steps and carves out each piece of the Bahamas for each one of us, I'm not comfortable with, all right? I don't look at the Bahamas and go, what's the government doing for me? I look at the Bahamas as a whole and try to understand what opportunities there are, who the people are, what things that benefit me as a Bahamian being in the Bahamas, and that's how I consider. I hear so many remarks nowadays, the Bahamas ain't for Bahamians. The Bahamas, well, who's it for then? The Bahamas for foreigners. Okay, what can a foreigner do in your country that you don't let them do, is my question. And again, it goes back to the government, the government, the government. All right. So the Bahamas has been here for nearly 300 years. This system of democracy, parliamentary governance, for nearly 300 years. All right. And what I hear a lot of today is, it's the PLP and the FNM. The Bahamas is not the PLP and the FNM. The Bahamas is not the government of the Bahamas. The Bahamas is not the cabinet of the Bahamas. The Bahamas is all of us, all our collective lives, will, consciousness, all of our land, all of our resources, all of our goods, everything that we can draw from it, all of our children, all of our aspirations, all of our dreams, all of our well-being. That's what the Bahamas is. And that we elect people from the PLP and the FNM to look after those interests is just because we've chosen that form of governance. Okay? Again, we chose this form of governance. It didn't have to be this way. The government of the Bahamas is there merely by consent. Okay? So governments rise and fall. Systems of democracy rise and fall. But nations tend to endure. All right? I said nations, not empires. All right, but nations tend to endure. All right, so you would have thousands of years ago, you would have had empires in Africa, you would have empires in Asia, you in East Asia as well, you would have empires in the West, in Europe, you know, and you could even argue that there were empires on this side of the world in terms of South America and Central America. Those empires have fallen. All right, we walk among their ruins today. All right, the Mali Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Roman Empire, all right, the British Empire, they've fallen. Okay, the, I don't want to misname the South and Central, but the Aztec, Mayan Empire, they've fallen. But the nations that were carved out about, the last 1,000 years, most of them have endured, right? So the goal of the nation is to endure. Empires come and go. Systems of democracy come and go. But a nation is more than its government, because governments change, governments fall. A nation has to be who we are and where we're going collectively. And if we can't focus on that beyond what the government has done for us, then we might as well just give up. All right. If all we can look at the Bahamas and say is the government of the Bahamas, we might as well just give up. And I think we're doing a disservice teaching that to our children, or whoever taught it to you has done you a disservice. When I was growing up, nobody never told me the government. We don't have this because the government didn't do this. We don't have, you know what I mean? Like, I heard a lot of, we didn't have this because the government stopped us from doing it, because my parents were the majority rule generation. I heard a lot of, we progress because a government came in and sought us on a path of progress, and we're grateful for that. But I never heard, if the government doesn't do it, then it's not gonna happen. I never heard that. I never, when we talk about Bahamianization, we talk about A.D. Hanna's vision, we talk about Carlton Francis's vision, we talk about Lyndon Pinling's vision, Milo Butler's vision, all right? The vision wasn't that the government must do everything. The vision was that the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas want to determine their own destiny. And insofar as colonial rule has prevented us, who are the majority of these people, from fulfilling our destiny and taking our rightful place in leadership, in the resources and the wealth of this nation, in ensuring that we are the best people that we can be, we want to abandon that system of government and have another system of government to try to progress this nation. But the nation endures. So what I'm going to do for you is read you, I did this a couple of years ago, but I'm gonna do it again. I need to do this every year. I need to record this. I wonder if there's audio of this, we can play it every year. We play this every month for y'all. Like how they Anyway, never mind. This says, remarks delivered by the Honorable Lyndon Oscar Pendling, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, on the occasion of the acceptance of the Bahamas to membership of the United Nations, September 1973. This says, this is Lyndon Pendling. And this is this will show you like the mastercraft in being brief but impactful. This ain't more than 5 minutes long, all right? But you go to the UN, they don't give you no long time. These fellas, right, if I ain't talking for 45 minutes, an hour, I ain't said nothing. And it don't have to be that way. You can remember what I told you? Always, always leave them wanting more. It says, Mr. President, I have the signal honor on behalf of the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to express to you and to all distinguished delegations the warm-hearted thanks of the people of the Bahamas for the admission of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to membership of the United Nations Organization. I would wish to thank all the members of the Security Council, which unanimously approved the application of the Bahamas for admission to the United Nations. Those member states which have so generously and readily sponsored our application for membership, and additionally, the Special Committee on the Situation with Regard to the Implementation of the Declaration on the Granting of Independence to Colonial Countries and Peoples, more commonly known as the Committee of 24, which has consistently promoted the rights of the people of small territories, in particular, to self-determination and independence, and has urged that steps be taken to translate these rights into realities. I am also pleased to acknowledge the friendly good wishes and welcome the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has received from members of the United Nations upon assuming its place on July 10th past in the Community of Independent Sovereign States. I should like to congratulate you, Mr. President, on your election to the esteemed office of President of the General Assembly, the functions of which I am certain you will discharge honorably and with traditional objectivity. Mr. President, sir, it was on the 12th of October, 1492, that Christopher Columbus rediscovered this hemisphere by landing on the island of San Salvador in the Bahamas. Today, 481 years later, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is being admitted to membership of the United Nations Organization, having traveled a long, dark, frustrating, yet fascinating journey through the dehumanizing experiences of slavery and colonialism to sovereign independence. It was on the 29th of September, 1729, that the first elected legislative body, once called the General Assembly of the Bahama Islands, came into existence and met for the first time in the Bahamas. Today, 244 years later, the Bahamas takes its place and meets for the first time in this august and distinguished General Assembly. It was on the 23rd of August, 1965, that a petition on the Bahamas was presented to the Special Committee of 24 of the United Nations Organization. That petition sought majority rule for the Bahamas and a positive program of preparedness by which Bahamians can be trained to assume and manage their own affairs at all levels. Today, 8 years later, the Bahamas takes its place as a member of that organization, majority rule having been established, and Bahamians having been trained to manage their own affairs. During all of the intervening years of continuous constitutionally elected authority, the Bahamas has undergone constant evolution in an entirely peaceful atmosphere without violence. And we are proud to have achieved revolutionary political change by this method. As a new nation, the Bahamas and its relationship with the rest of the world will adhere to its commitment to ordered, reasoned, unemotional, and evolutionary progress, dominated by the deeply held religious beliefs of its people and their commitment to the rule of law. The entire area of land and sea over which the Bahamas claims jurisdiction is approximately 100,000 square miles, about 94% of which is sea. We in the Bahamas claim this area with uncharacteristic immodesty, but with accuracy, to be the most beautiful archipelago in the world. From our extremities in the northwest to our extremities in the southeast, the islands and keys span 760 miles. And a look at the map will show you that the proximity of these islands to each other is analogous to stepping stones, it being physically and engineeringly possible to link up more than one group in the chain. Although we who inhabit the islands of the Bahamian archipelago are predominantly Black, we are also of many other colors and of varied faiths, and all of us have similar aspirations and expectations as those of the billions of other people who inhabit this planet Earth. We wish to live in peace. We wish to satisfy the needs, both spiritual and physical, of our own people. We wish to neither be dominated nor coerced, and we wish to create a society built on the sound foundation of constitutional authority. We wish also to be free from interference in the conduct of our affairs, but we wish to enjoy the friendship and benefit from the association, wisdom, and experience of those who wish to be our friends and respect our freedom as we want and know it. We believe that we can make a contribution to a better international understanding by sharing our experiences in human relations, in effecting change without disorder, revolution without bloodshed, and in developing a stable economic and social order. We of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas are aware that it is indeed unrealistic to think that nation states can exist in isolation. No man, no nation is an island unto itself. There is need for perpetual interdependence of the big and the small, which will guarantee the perpetuation of the United Nations as the center for the harmonization of the actions of nations concerned with international peace and security, equality and freedom, economic and social justice for all peoples. While man is reaching dramatically into the infinite limits of outer space, the fascinating confines of ocean depths, he is also prosaically reaching into his own mind to reassess his global value system, which has yet to acknowledge that a world dominated by power politics and calculated alignments of self-interest and fear is less important than a world where morality is as expressed in the Charter of the United Nations. The Commonwealth of the Bahamas subscribes to the concept of alignments of states having in common respect for human and spiritual values rooted in the belief in the absolutely indivisible freedom of the mind of man. The Commonwealth of the Bahamas enters the United Nations in the closing decades of the 20th century. We came late, but having arrived, we pledge to abide by the obligations imposed upon us as a member of the United Nations organization, and we shall not shrink from our responsibilities as an active member of this institution. We have no delusions of grandeur about the influence an independent Bahamas may have on world events, but we believe that this organization and its collective influence can hold, promote, and guarantee peace and protect mankind from the capacity for its destruction, which some enjoy. On our part, we have no capacity to wage war, yet we realize that peace is not an end in itself, but that peace provides man with the opportunity to share the wealth of the earth in such fashion that all its people will enjoy the objectives of the Charter of the United Nations. And that was Pinling's address upon acceptance of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to the United Nations organization. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about the implications of what he said. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Celebrate every day like a birthday with Marco's Pizza Carryout Special. Spend less and get more with our large one-topping pizza for only $10.50. Yes, one topping of your choice served on our fresh dough, fresh cheese, and signature sauce. Every single day for only $10.50. Marco's Pizza, where every day something special happens. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24-hour emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM's News Smart Talk. All day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. My apologies. I had an audio disconnection just now, but it I think is good. No, I think. You can text me if you want at 422-4796, 422-4796. And you can also call at 323-6232, 323-6232. I'd also urge you to go pick up a copy of today's Nassau Guardian. It's got a great independence supplement toward 50 years of nationhood. As I said, it'll be 50 years. So everything you heard Pinling say, that was 50 years ago. How many of you were actually alive? I was not. All right. That's how deep that goes. I wasn't born yet. And he was explaining to the nation, to the world, I'm sorry, who we are as a people, even for those of us who were yet unborn, who we are as a people and what our wishes are. So we telegraph what our wishes are to the rest of the world. And I think that it's important because sometimes we can tell ourselves who we are and who we think we are. But I think the best explanation you can have of who is a Bahamian, what is the Bahamas? And what are we about? I think the best thing is when we try to explain it to other people who aren't Bahamian, right? Because I find that we often speak so poorly about ourselves, and then we become shocked when other people speak poorly about us. And I'm like, but you speak so poorly about yourself, what do you expect other people to do? They're going to pile on. They're going to be like, they don't respect their own nation. They don't think that there's anything positive. The only time we like really go to bat for the Bahamas is when someone just disrespects us for no particular reason. Other than that, we turn on each other fast. You know, now critiquing each other is one thing. When I say turn on each other, some people like will sacrifice people just for fun. just because they feel like it, because they're bored maybe. When we had Hurricane Dorian, right? And I don't even mean to start this conversation up, but whatever. My family in Canada, right there, and so listen. I don't know how familiar you are with what else goes on elsewhere. A lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people are very well traveled, more so than me. But Caribbean people stick together when they're in other people's countries, by and large. All right? Do they have disputes? Absolutely. People of Bahamians abroad have disputes with each other, Jamaicans, et cetera, everyone, you know, but humans have disputes. But Caribbean people stick together by and large. So if I'm in America or Canada or London, it's changed in the last 27 years, but, and I see like a Jamaican place, I'm going to go run in there, man. I'm no Jamaican, right? But we share common bonds, right? There's something about being under colonial rule, the descendants of a lot of us slaves, that has forged us in a way that's unique among the rest of the world. And you know that, right? So you go abroad. You ever been? Here's how serious it is. And I don't know if it's just, I know it's not just me. You ever been in an airport and see someone and you don't even speak to them, but you know they're Bahamian? Like, you don't know them, but you know they're Bahamian, right? You can tell. There's like a connection that has been ingrained in our DNA. You can go to an airport and see someone who's, because what happens is when we're here, we believe that we're the only people in the world, right? And we believe that, and this is what happens, we tend to act like the world has to come to us and we're the only people in the world, we're the most important people in the world, and we're not, right? And when we go abroad, we realize that, Jesus, we are a very small portion of the overall picture. And so the things that you find common among yourselves, you start to bond with other people over those things. So no, I'm not Jamaican, but I can go kick it with a Jamaican over somebody else if I'm among millions of people who I don't have too much in common with in terms of culture. Humans have a lot in common wherever they are, but in terms of culture, I'm going to go kick it with a Jamaican. I'm going to go kick it with a Trinidadian. My boy Paul went to LSU. His peepee. Made friends from all over. His boy from Trinidad, his boy from, another boy, a Jamaican friend. So we share common bonds, right? As Caribbean people. And it's important that we understand who we are when we're speaking to the rest of the world, because the rest of the world usually doesn't know us. If they know anyone, they'll know Jamaica, and they'll only know certain things, you know, reggae and XYZ. It's important that we understand who we are as a nation, and that we can explain it to the rest of the world, and then we can look inward and explain where it is we want to go, right? And let me explain something to you, right? No nation is perfect, okay? So the Americans will be the first people in front of the entire planet to tell you, watch your mouth when you talk about America, right? Any of them, 99.99% of them will be the first person. Don't worry about that. America is America. Don't worry about that. We're not perfect, but this still ours. And we still rep it, no matter what. Watch your mouth. Now, when we're talking amongst each other in America, we can talk to each other. We don't like this, but we don't like this decision on abortion. We don't like this thing about guns. We don't like this thing about elections or whatever like that. We don't like this thing about poverty, about drugs. You know what I mean? And they have those discussions internally, but ain't nobody can talk bad about them ever. And they go, yeah, we suck. We know, never. Amen. All right, we get some texts. It says, foreigners can gamble in the casinos at PI and Cable Beach and can go anywhere without masks as starters. The first part of that is true. You can't go anywhere without masks if you're a foreigner. I know that's not true because I see foreigners all the time right around here on East Bay Street who are required to wear masks when they go in stores. I don't think that that's still necessary, but that's just me. Foreigners can gamble in the casinos at PI and Cable Beach, but I asked you before. All right. What can a foreigner do in your country that you don't allow them to do? So that a foreigner can gamble in the casinos at PI and Cable Beach and a Bahamian can't is because we did that. It's because the Bahamians did that. And it's silly and outdated and nonsensical, but we did that. And the reasons shift, but the mentality stays the same. You know why originally we did that? They didn't want Bahamians in the casino. Now, they'll tell you about the Hobby Horse Hall and all this other nonsense. You know what I mean? The reason we did that, we didn't want Bahamians in the casinos. All right? And we thought they haven't been allowed this long. Let's keep them out. And the American casino operators were like, well, you know, we prefer if we just keep it foreigners, X, Y, Z. And they were like, fine, no problem. Right? That was then. You know why we maintained that? So here's what happened in, I want to say 2016. I'll have to double check. We redrafted the gaming laws. And we made gaming houses owned by Bahamians legal, only for Bahamians, although I've seen foreigners in them over and over. Only for Bahamians. And they had to be owned by Bahamians. And then we went and put a moratorium on the licenses so only certain Bahamians could be in that business. And we propagated the law that kept us as Bahamians out of the casinos, all right? Because, and I'm just going to say this, I don't want to trample too many toes, because it's in the gaming house operators' interest to not have Bahamians go gamble in casinos. Come spend that money with me. Now, you could make certain arguments about that. But to me, if we're talking about the free market, then I don't understand why Bahamians can't choose where they spend their money. All right? So, again, what can a foreigner do in the Bahamas that we don't allow them to do? Because they could go change that Tuesday. They could go change that law. All right? It says, bro, you're so wrong. I've heard a lot of Americans talk negative toward their country, the policies and politicians. I've spoken with them. I mean, I've heard Americans say things that they don't like about America, but I don't hear foreigners come and say, we don't like America. And the Americans go, yeah, we don't like it either. So I said to you, and I'm not wrong, because I said to you, internally, they will have those discussions, right? But foreigners don't go, here's what sucks about America, and America's 99.9% of them. Americans go, yeah, you're right, we suck. They don't do that. And you could talk to as many as you want. I worked in a hotel. I've spoken to thousands and thousands and thousands of them. It says the red carpet is rolled out for the foreign investor and the red tape for the Bahamian investor. Huh. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that in terms of government policy. We may be talking about in terms of who does business with whom. But in terms of government policy, my understanding is the exact regimes exist for foreign and Bahamian, unless you could show me otherwise. Says, OMG, you're in office? Yeah. Are you okay? As opposed to people who ask you if you're okay when you're out of office. No, I'm probably not. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably not going to be doing a lot of Fridays this summer, but I'm here today. It says, one of the main problems of the country is the media. When you have so-called journalists who would rather party with politicians and party at embassies than rather call them out for historical and modern-day wrongs, those reporters will never be respected. Truly puppets. All right. I mean, I disagree. One of the main problems with the media, but we do have issues with the media. I'll be the first to tell you that. Now, as far as journalists partying with politicians and partying at embassies, then rather than call them out for historical and modern day wrongs, I don't know what you're talking about. They may exist. I'm not one of them. I've been to events that politicians have held to try to build better relations with the media, and that's no problem. We should have a relationship. It will sometimes be contentious. It will at times be adversarial. But if we're all moving in the same direction insofar as we want the best for the nation, I don't see, you don't have to go, I'm not talking to no politician outside, I'm asking them a question. Like, that's nonsensical in a country this size, right? You don't go, I'm not going to no embassy because I want to call the embassy, I want to do something. No, you have integrity. You can go there and go like, hey, thank you for inviting me to your event. It's great to know you better. When there's something that happens, I will do my job. All right, I expect you to do your job, and please respect that I will do my job. And that's the kind of relationship that adults have, all right? When you're an absolutist and you think that a journalist like sits inside some underground hole and just takes shots at people and doesn't build relationships, then you don't actually do this, all right? You just have in your head what it should be, all right? So there's lots of critique for journalists, but as far as party with politics, I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay. We got to take a break, okay, for news, and we'll be back on the other side. We'll do some more of your text messages. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are talking about independence, and in just a minute, we're going to be talking with Brother Simeon Hall Jr., who has a soup kitchen event coming up, and it's going to help to feed the most vulnerable among us. And he's going to be explaining what that is and how we can participate. All right. And he'll be calling in just a minute here. All right. So let's do a couple more of your text messages. We're talking about independence. And it's okay. I knew that this would happen. I knew that we would go, the Bahamas got this problem, right? Okay. Because what we do is we look at a government and think it's the nation, all right? And we look at organs of the state and think that they should all be formed perfectly, that there should be no further work we need to do, that there's no adjustments that need to be made, that life is just very binary, linear. There's no veering from point to point. There are no exigencies, you know? So, and we look at that and we go, that's fine. But here's what I find a lot of us don't do. I find that a lot of us don't look to the shortcomings that we have in ourselves in terms of helping to progress the nation. All right? That's what I think a lot of us don't do. So a lot of people look around and go, well, this is wrong, that is wrong, that. You don't look at yourself, right? You don't look at yourself and go, well, maybe I don't work hard enough. Maybe I don't do this. Maybe I don't, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't do that. You look at the government. Why didn't the government do that? Why didn't the government do that? All right? And it's a thing where we believe that everyone else should work harder, smarter, be more sensible, but we don't critically assess that for ourselves. And when we look at the nation, do we look at the part that we play in the nation? Because and it's fine that you're sitting here and you're telling me everything you think is wrong, but do you assess what you can do better as a part of the nation? Or do you think just being born here, having a passport, is all that is required of you as a Bahamian? Do you have skin in the game? Do you have any role to play? Or is it just the government? And the government should do it. So the guy says that the media, one of the major problems in this country is the media, because the media doesn't call out politicians in other countries. Okay. So the media were to call, so your logic is the media were to call out the politicians and the other countries and their ambassadors, then the Bahamas would be right as rain. Yeah? That's it. That's what needs to fix. There's nothing that you do. It should be fixed. There's nothing that your participation in the nation should be corrected. Right? I saw a guy the other day straight up throw a KFC box out of the car window in a business vehicle. Him and another person and threw it in the middle of the road. Right? And these are the, I know the name of the business too. I should call it, but I'm trying to be a better person in 2022. And these are the same people who go, the government don't do enough for us, boy. You know, so, you know, I get it. Like, you want the government to do better? Sure. But what is it that we as Bahamians can do better? Like, or do you just fork over everything to a politician and go, y'all go figure it out? That was my problem with the emergency orders and the competent authority. I mean, you ain't supposed to be figuring this out? If I wanted one dude to go figure it out, we could have had an authoritarian state and a dictatorship, and that would have been that. And I'd just been like, hey, all hail the dictator. Great. All right, we got Simeon Hall Jr. on the line. Good afternoon, Chef. Great to have you back on The Revolution.
Hey, it's always, always nice to be here. And, you know, I applaud what you just said. You know, that phrase you use is something that kind of motivates me on a daily basis. Is having skin in the game. It's one thing right to talk about it, but what are we doing? I'm looking at a country that's turning 49. And in the fields of hospitality, in the fields of culinary, in the fields of food and beverage, are we 49? And who are we holding responsible? And so, you know, this is an interesting conversation that you're having today. And I know I called to talk a little bit of a lighthearted, you know, Fridays is our foodie Fridays.
Right.
But, you know, we really got to start to look at what we are contributing to our amazing country. The Bahamas is the best place on the planet. But we gotta really participate. And one, I'm going to challenge you. I think you should call the company with the KFC litter. You have a responsibility. That ain't snitching. That's protecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Some of these drains and all these clogs we have and flooding around town, some of that is us.
Yep.
Some of that is us littering and not taking care of our country. Plain and simple.
Absolutely.
But that
ain't
Absolutely. What I call you today for one.
No, you got an event coming up. No, but I mean, this is a conversation we have to have about who we are as a country. And this is why we talk about the food, you know what I mean? Because we often go, well, we don't have no identity. And I go, well, yeah, but what are you talking about?
Exactly. And food has a big part to play in that. And I wonder, where are we in terms of the conversation, and not just the conversation, but the action to make sure that our flag is our plate. And
Absolutely.
So, you know, hopefully I can have more people join me in this quest as we move along and get some amazing, amazing support from industry partners and the like. And but again, Juan, I ain't calling for that one. Why you like that? Why you setting me up today?
No, it's fine. It's fine. So tell us about this event you have coming up. It's very interesting.
So next week we've partnered with Hand for Hunger. We're going to do a pop-up soup kitchen to provide some, hopefully, 200 meals to, you know, persons less fortunate than ourselves, whatever that means in a space like this. But it really is to connect and to do one of the things that I promised. I had a sous chef who was like a brother to me that passed about three weeks ago from lung cancer. And he and I had done several of these over the years. And so I always promised them to keep it going. And so we are having the first one next week, Wednesday. And Hands for Hunger has identified two areas that they're going to drop off our product to. And so what I did, because I used to get in trouble before, I just used to do this stuff out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people wanted in. They wanted to support. And they would always get down on me when they see me do these things after the fact. Because it's events like these one that I don't really publicize. I feel a certain way about, you know, lights and camera when I'm giving back to people. But I've learned to get other people involved. And so to do that, you can go to Eventbrite and just look for Hiram's Pop-Up Kitchen, Pop-Up Soup Kitchen, or you could Google, or you could go to my social media and you'll find the link to purchase a ticket. So you buy a ticket for $10. It's not food for you, Juan. It's food to be donated to somebody else.
Excellent.
So we plan on giving them a very, very hearty farm-to-table meal experience. And you're going to pay it forward by buying a ticket for $10. And then that's going to be donated. And we have 60 more tickets to go before we reach our goal of 200 persons. So I really need the audience. I really need the Bahamas to help us out with this one because, you know, we always try to go above and beyond. And this is a great opportunity to give back because in a time like this, when people throwing chicken box out of the government or business car window, you have people who don't even have chicken to eat. And so
that's right.
That's our way of giving back.
All right, so we're going to go to Eventbrite and look for Hiram's Pop-Up Soup Kitchen.
And it'll just come up.
Okay.
And the tickets are only $10, and you can buy one or you can buy up to 10 at each time. And thanks to the persons who literally bought 10 tickets and they've right. supported, you know, 10 persons are going to eat very, very comfortably next week, Wednesday.
Excellent. Well, I'm gonna participate as well and buy some tickets to help some people get some food in them so that at least that's one meal that they won't miss. So yeah. I really appreciate yeah. what you're doing. And we're going to go and look on Eventbrite, and we're going to Hiram's Soup Kitchen, and yep. We're going to purchase some tickets. And I think it's excellent. All right?
Exactly.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
You can go on my social media, www.timianhalljr.com. All my links are on my website. Please feel free to support us as best as you can.
Right. And if you go on Eventbrite, you just click on the food and beverage, and you'll see Hiram's pop-up Soup Kitchen.
Yeah.
All right. And it's
thank you
right
so much,
there.
Juan, for your support. You've been an amazing support. And I look forward to when we connect again.
Absolutely, man. Take care out there. All right.
All right.
Good to hear from you as
thank
always.
You so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. That's Chef Simeon Hall Jr. Okay. Talking about the pop-up kitchen. Someone now told me they want to do 5 tickets. I'm going to do 5 tickets, right? Because I want to help people if I can. Like, you don't, there's ways you help, all right? So sometimes you can't always get to the people, and other people can get to them, and so you try to help them, you know? And like he said, it's not always lights and cameras that you want to show that you're helping people. A lot of times you will just help, all right? Because you feel compelled to help. All right. So we're talking about independence, and I know the conversation is going to go this way because the conversation is going to go, what's wrong, right? What's wrong, and mainly what's wrong is the politicians, because that's what a lot of people believe is the solution to everything. If we had better politicians, everything would be okay. And I'll say this, I'm not excusing any politician. A lot of politicians are not properly qualified. All right. They don't elevate themselves to the challenge of what it is that they're facing. A lot of people are put in positions not because of merit, but because of connections to other people. And that's just life, by the way. But we got to aspire to a higher standard when we have government. All right. So what we want is a nation where the government's working with us, but also we're working toward our own aims. And insofar as the government is a hindrance to you, absolutely. But when I see people go, we don't have the nation we want because somebody else got something else. There's just a flaw in that sort of thinking. All right. I look, because if I stood around looking at what everybody else got and go, why I don't have that, without actually figuring out how I can go get something myself, I'm never going to do anything. Right. I had this conversation with someone very dear to me a long time ago. And I was talking about somebody who got a benefit. I'll say that. Try not to make it too specific. Somebody who got something nice. And they were saying to me, well, I want something nice too. And I sat there and I go, look, don't do that, right? Don't look at what someone else has and covet it, ye who claim to be so Christian. Don't look at something nice that happened for somebody and go, well, why don't I have that? Just be happy that they got it. All right. Now, there's times where you could critique it in terms of sometimes it's taxpayer dollars. You're like, well, why is this happening with my tax dollars? Because you come tell me you need my tax dollars for X, Y, Z. All right? So if someone tells you they're using your money for one thing and then they go and spend it on another thing, that's a legitimate question to have. But don't do that. Don't look at what somebody else has and go, I want that, I need that. And if I don't have that, it's somebody else's fault that I don't have that. Which part of it is you, right? Which part of it is that you didn't do what you needed to do to get in the position to have what you need to have, right? And so you got to start considering that. Because what we do is a lot of us do the bare minimum in our lives, but expect there to be some outsized result. right? Because I guess we believe in magical thinking. Yeah? So you do the bare minimum. You don't go improve yourself. You don't go to the minimum wage should be $600-$700. Why? Why should I pay you? I keep asking this conversation. People go, oh, you're so elitist and all that. No, it's not that I'm elitist. It's why should I pay you the minimum wage of $700, what, 40 grand a year? Why am I paying you 40 grand a year? Like, what skills do you have that requires this? What can you do that I can't go find 500 other people to do that warrants that I minimize my profit margin on my business that I built and my family built? What is it that you're offering besides you exist? Besides from you show up? Now, there are instances where you do need to be paid more. I was speaking to a security guard at a bank the other day, and he was telling me, like, I've been with this company for 15 years, and they haven't increased our salary. And, you know, we are the pretty much first line of defense when it comes to these banks. He was at a bank. And I, you know, that makes sense. I think that that is something that should be looked at, you know. But also, the business model probably needs to be looked at a little closer as well. All right. Plus, you don't allow security guards to be armed, which is weird to me. You should train them to be armed. I'm certainly not trying to be no security guard with these lunatics out here. So we often look at what others aren't doing to make our nation better and think that your job is done just by being a citizen, right? That's and it's childish, all right? And it's nonsensical. Okay? So you don't get to just say, I have a Bahamian passport and therefore I should have all these things that I think every Bahamian should have, but I don't want to do the work, right? I read you guys on social media all the time, and I swear they need to take some of y'all Facebook away. What the government should be working to give us free land and build us houses and free education and free healthcare. And what is it that you're willing to get? No, don't raise my NIB. Absorb all the costs for electricity. No, don't put the VAT on the bread basket. No. We just want it by virtue of having been born here. The notion of having to make your way in the world has taken a back seat to the fundamental reality that nothing is just given to you other than what you are constitutionally entitled to. So read your constitution. Nowhere in there does it say house. Nowhere in there does it say you're a Bahamian, you get crown land. All right? You have certain rights as a Bahamian. Nowhere in there does it say they got to pay you X, Y, Z. Nowhere in there does it say it's mandatory that they educate you. You know why you get an education? Up to tertiary education? For a couple of reasons. The first reason is the majority rule government decided that they had to further the education. It was a public duty to further the education of Bahamian citizens who could not afford an education. And by virtue of not being able to afford an education, I don't know when we lost this concept, by virtue of not being able to afford an education, you limit the amount of money you will ever make. All right? I know you don't want to hear that. I know you want to hear, I'm a Bahamian. I'm here. Give me cash. Right? If you don't learn a skill, you're going to limit the amount of money you make. All right? And I see this all the time. You always talk about hotels and y'all don't want to work in a hotel. If you don't want to work in a hotel, don't work in a hotel. Right? I wanted to stop working at a hotel. I stopped working at a hotel. Ain't nobody said, you got, if you don't do this. Like, the notion that somehow these institutions are bad makes no sense. So anyway, we have free education because the majority rule government decided that it was in our public national interest to educate people beyond third, fourth grade. All right? If you could afford it, you could have gone to St. John's or the government high school or something like that, but you had to pay. And a lot of people sacrifice greatly to pay to go there. I forget when SAC was formed. Now the SAC people are going to be all mad. It is what it is. One of the reasons we still have, one of the reasons we have education as an imperative today, all right, is beyond what the majority rule government decided they would do, although they did a great deal of work in expanding education. That can never be denied. All right. Previously, you were on family islands. You would be educated at the all-age school, if you're lucky, up to a certain point, and then you got to come to Nassau for high school or junior high. All right. We made a great deal of investment. You may not like everything, but be cognizant of what you do have. We made a great deal of investment in expanding education throughout this country, a great deal of it. Right? More so than a lot of other countries in our economic situation. One of the reasons that, and you guys get mad at me, well, I don't care if you get mad at me. You get mad about this because you're insecure. They go, remember Brayman? Brayman don't call me anymore because I told them what he said was stupid, because it is stupid and vile and disgusting. He said, go root out all the mixed breeds in the school, referring to people of Haitian descent, of course. One of the reasons that children who are born to Haitian parents who are not properly regularized here get an education. Well, let me say this. The main reason that children who are born to Haitian parents or any foreign parents here in the Bahamas, the reason they get an education is because of what we did in September 1973, which was join the United Nations. Let me refresh your memory, all right, on what Pinlink said. He said that they had petitioned the United Nations from 1965 that they wanted majority rule and that they wanted to progress to educating the Bahamian population to be able to take care of their own affairs. And he thanked the United Nations for helping us do that. And in joining the United Nations, he promised to adhere to the commitments of being a member of the United Nations, because no nation is an island unto itself. You know what one of the covenants of the United Nations is that we offer access to education for all children, all right? Because it's the humane thing to do, okay? Pinlink said we want to share the wealth of the earth in such fashion that all its people enjoy the objectives of the Charter of the United Nations, okay? One of the reasons we give education to everyone is because we're a member of the United Nations, and that's what the United Nations requires, is everybody met all the requirements throughout the world? No. But we have, right? The second reason people get education, and y'all keep telling me this, go root the Haitians out of school. And okay, sure. So first of all, if you're born here, we've had court case after court case, all right? You have a legitimate expectation that on your 18th birthday, you'll be registered for citizenship, all right? So I don't know the value of rounding everybody up and deporting everybody who's still going to be able to apply for citizenship when they're 18, but maybe you guys see some value in it. If you take all of the people out of school who are not Bahamian citizens at birth, according to our Constitution, you are going to have a very real problem as those children grow into adulthood and do not have an education and are properly socialized in a community environment and a learning environment, and you're expecting them to be productive parts of your society. So you educate people because you want an educated population. If you're going to be a part of our population, you should be educated. All right? We offer health care, because we don't want an outsized number of sick people in our population. We offer vaccines. Not the Rona shot. We offer vaccines because we don't want community spread of disease in our population, okay? The reason we don't want shanty towns is because they are health hazards, all right? In terms of fires, in terms of the water table, although with all the batteries and oil changing y'all's doing y'all yard, the water table is probably ruined for the next 1,000 years. All right, so you want as a country to understand that we're part of a interconnected global community, and it's in our interest to do these things, all right? And so that's why we have the sort of education system we have. And then you have people who go even further. Like, the government didn't have to start the College of the Bahamas. Ain't nobody made them do that. All right. They did it because we wanted a tertiary institution. Now, when the College of the Bahamas was launched, everybody go, that's great. That's it. That's it. It's perfect. We're done. No, they've been chipping away at it for 50 years. And there's still issues with it. And the college is a microcosm for a nation. You embark upon nationhood, not with the idea that it is somehow perfect at the start, but with the idea that each successive generation will work to perfect it. All right? That's the idea. That we do as much as we can and our children come and they do more, but you're not going to be able to do everything. People come with these manifestos that are 5 years long and say they're going to change. There's no aspect of society they won't leave untouched. Right? And they never fulfill them. It is because the work of nation building is A, beyond that of any individual political party, even though they do clout chase, like they could change the nation forever themselves. And B, the work of nation building is continuous. When I'm on my deathbed, do I expect my son to go, well, why don't we have all of this that I want? I'm going to be like, because there's work left for you to do. I couldn't do it all. No one can. There's limited lifetime that we have. Nations endure, as I said at the top of the show. And if we're lucky, 50, 100, 500 years from now, there'll still be a Bahamas. If Jesus doesn't come back, we'll see. This says, Juan, your show's okay, but one about you talk more than you take calls and take texts to balance it. Yeah, okay. Sure, I could take more calls and texts. Balance what? My point of view on my show, that's what the show is about. Are you under the impression that I'm proffering my viewpoint so that those who want balance can go ahead and bring balance to it? I don't, that's not what's happening. All right, anyway, but fine, I'll take more calls. Maybe I have a call. There we go. And we got a call. See, I'm taking a call now. I want foreigners are getting free land, so why not Bahamians? Which foreigners are getting free land? Point them to me. Point them out to me, and let me go talk to Wayne Monroe. There's one, if it's one thing about Bahamians, is that we feel entitled to everything for nothing. You got to work around here, man. My flesh and blood, we can take the call. My children don't get everything they want just for being my children. It don't work like that. I'm going to do the best for them. I'm going to make sure they don't go without the necessities of life and some comforts. But if I mind these set, I'd be buying $50 worth of V-Bucks and Robux every day. It ain't like that. You're going to do something to earn. These rewards that you're expecting. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney, Seattle Johnson. How are you doing today?
What's happening, brother?
Yeah. One, I think at the beginning of your theme, you say, the theme that we have is to watch 50. I think the point you've been making concerning nationhood is very important in the fact that we are building a country supposed to be inclusive of all. The problem that I've seen, as much as I love my country, I don't think, a lot of people call themselves nationalists. I've been considered an extreme nationalist of the order of Melchizedek, where, people say the foreigners already took, and they says we must preserve. I am one believer that not only should we preserve, but we should go get what they took. Mm-hmm. Now, the concept of nationalism and the problem we've had in my observation of my two decades of being home is that we govern for the 25%. The problem is that the 50% remain silent, or even the 51% remain silent, the silent majority. And what I mean by that is that the PLP governs for the 20 to 25% of their support base, and the FNM do the same. And so if you extrapolate from that, that then 60% that isn't included in those five-year cycles is because they remain silent. But one of the problems that we have as we move towards 50, and I pray that this happens, is one that we do move to one of inclusion, not one of which you get rich, where you come on and you speak about what you believe and whatever it is, but that's not what you practice. And so when we also talk is that, what will scare me, one, if I am the brightest technologist in the country, that will scare me. But the fact is that for 20 years, I don't see more than talk from amongst our people about what technology is, as opposed to its actual implementation of it. And that's because we allow verbal gibberish to come out of political parties as to what they're going to do. And those that do know what should have been done or what should be doing doesn't say anything. But importantly, that we build on data. Let's use an example. Your front page of your paper yesterday talked about $13 billion in losses that we are sustaining almost on a yearly basis. But if we were to have a conversation and we all sit down in a room, there's many of us could tell you that $13 billion will be lost every single year or continue to grow. And you would ask, why will it continue to grow? Because we don't talk about the machinery, the infrastructure that produced that $13 billion that is being lost, that needs to be replaced. So we have government talk about paving roads and building docks and doing these topical things, as to whole having a clear, concise assessment as to where we are as we move into our 50th year, to make a determination as to where we need to go. What is it we need to do in Grand Bahama and Abaco to build infrastructurally to restore this $13 billion that we have lost? And let me use an example. You own a restaurant. The GDP in your restaurant is $1 million a year. And your restaurant happens to burn tonight. And we keep start talking about, we lose $1 million a year. But we ignore the restaurant that produced the million dollars a year. And so we need to rebuild the country. We need to build succinctly and plan, but we need the collective intelligence of all. And I'm hoping there's a leadership somewhere amongst us. With all due respect, Ward, I haven't seen it in the past, and I don't see it in this administration yet. I'm still hopeful of Mr. Davis that can bring together the inclusiveness. If you go back to the beginning, Ward, remember, you know, it surprised me, right? When you start talking about what this person said, Samila Butler said, and what Hannah Martin said, what A.D. Hannah said, and what this person said, do you notice that you stopped at the independence generation? We didn't talk about what anybody has said since then.
And yeah, because we're talking about independence.
No, I understand, but I'm saying that consistently, it's very little that can be said since then beyond 35 years. Because if you looked at that generation of leadership that we had, any one of them could have been prime minister. But when we look at leadership today, we will almost have to guess as who would succeed who should Mr. Davis go to sleep tonight.
Anybody... I don't mean to be petty, right, C. Allen, but the last administration should show you that anybody could be prime minister.
No, yeah, that, no,
they got to have no vision and no proper qualification and no set of skills.
That's the problem I'm saying.
Anybody can be prime minister around here.
Right. No, but we see this is what we've been doing. We've been lowering the bar. And I say that, and I say this very circumstantially. Terry Glasson Christie brought the bar to the ground. Minister dug a hole under it. Now anybody who could crawl could get through. And so what I'm simply saying is that we now must take a concentrated effort to raise the bar. And leadership like Mr. Davis and Mr. Pintard should be seeking legacy. No matter how long it's there, it only takes a year to 2 years for you to do legacy, you know. It doesn't take time, doesn't create legacy. Action does. And so I'm simply saying that we are now competing more succinctly against the world because technology has eliminated the borders. But we have not embraced that. We are still embracing mediocrity, family, friends, lovers, finances, and foreigners. And so until we actually start putting us first, and you talk about the gaming, you know what it takes to change the gaming law? Read it. It says the minister could change the law by statement. So today, Minister Chester could simply say behemoths could gamble, and that's the policy. It says so in the thing. It says local government can be administered by the minister. We don't need to go back to parliament. And so I'm simply saying is we can do these things, but we must also be educated. And then I say this, we must know where we are to plot where we want to go. We must know where we were to gauge how far we have come. And until we begin to have a conversation that includes the 70% of the population under 45, because they're not included in governance as it stands right now, and these three scores and 10 is acting as if though they got another 3 score and 10 to run this country, like you say, you're preparing your children for it. And so what we have to do is begin to look at a systematic ideology for which we want to transition our new leadership in to build a better Bahamas for all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. All right, we got to take a break real quick, and then we're going to go ahead and take some more of your texts to bring some balance, X, Y, Z. Stay tuned.
Frank, what you doing?
Looking at some new insurance options, Uncle Joe.
Insurance?
You should have asked me. I've got a guy on Collins Avenue who does my motor insurance. My home policy is through a lady I work with. Now, Johnny from the gym, he's going to hook me up with medical and life. Now, for pensions, I'd like to spread that one around a little bit. Or I could call CG Atlantic. They do all of that.
With all the insurance and pensions cover you need in one place, we're like an uncle that doesn't give you bad advice. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our 7 locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind, Will Max Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIV drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Will Max Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Hello? Can I show you something else, boy?
Who this is?
Tamika? You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you got to get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding out under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
The Cotton Tree on Bernard Road has a deal for you, animal lovers. We are the sole distributor of the affordable Super Can dog and cat food. Mothers, we also distribute Bumble Pampers, the most inexpensive in the Bahamas, plus wipes, powdered and liquid detergents, disinfectants, and the delicious Max Fly energy drink. The Cotton Tree convenience store on Bernard Road, Fox Hill, open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Call us at 364-6249 or 805-5679 for more information.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. I don't know that we made up any ground today, but I think that maybe you could understand better what I think about independence. This says, one, I understand the United Nations conformities, but I don't agree that Haitians, whether they're born here or not, should stay here and bleed our resources. We don't want lesser human beings here, okay? We want productive citizens. Trump even called their country an asshole country. You sound like a Haitian sympathizer, and that's disappointing because I respect most of your views, but not this one. Listen to me. I don't know what you mean by lesser human beings. I don't know that I've met any of those in my lifetime. That you require some sort of purity test for me to say that I have this hardcore view on illegal immigration, that's not my concern. That's yours. All right. Now, I'll say this. You never saw them at a repatriation flight yet. And I go, don't do that. You never saw them go into a shantytown and serve notice that they can't be there. And I'm going, well, don't do that. All right. I don't believe in illegality, but I certainly don't subscribe to the concept of lesser human beings. Says Bruno, you sound like you don't have a problem with illegals and other foreigners taking over the Bahamas. Be a true Bahamian. You're going astray. I see. Listen, you guys, on this whole concept of foreign takeover and not liking the Haitians because a lot of them came the wrong way, we're just not going to see eye to eye on that. And that's okay. I sleep next to a woman, have had children with this woman, and we don't agree about everything. And that's just what life is. There are disagreements, even among those with a great deal of respect and affection for each other. So you know my position. It does not align with yours. And that's just where we have to keep it. All right? Says too many of us don't see our role in the development of our country, and so this administration need to get busy in being the end all and be all, because sadly too many of us expect that. We do, too many of us expect that, but at the same time, I'm not going to let these politicians off the hook. A lot of them act like they got all the answers. So says, hi, I want some of these people are just too negative. I mean, I'm never going to believe that, right? I'm never going to feel that way. So, like, I believe in God. And people go, how you believe in God? Would you believe in God? Well, what evidence you have? Look, bro, look, son, I believe as I believe because I have a right to believe as I believe. You believe people are lesser? No problem. I don't believe that. We got a call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great, man. Juan, listen to this. I thought it was only for the bus drivers, but I just get the sense of it this morning. They won't spend money like drunk and say, if the taxi drivers of Wesley Ferguson, I think it was on the Guardian talk show also. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was Joshua or Dwight early morning. But what I'm saying, they were saying they were going to wait, you know, because of the fuel rise in the gas and the diesel. They was going to wait until they was going to come to the government to ask for a raise until they get, and they didn't want to come back another time. So it's waiting to see how far the peak that the fuel price will go up to. Okay. But now I hear Joe Bet Colby Davis, they say, I thought you were talking about the bus drivers. Now this morning, all day was the bus. Now this morning they're saying, they're going to work out a relief package to give to the taxi drivers and the bus drivers. Man, look here. All they have to do, the bus drivers ask for 20%, give them the 30% in increase in the fares. The bus drivers ask for increase, I think it's $1.25 now. Give them $1.75 or $2 and let them fend. The island people used to say, the old people, let them fend for themselves while the government go pay out millions to trouble the relief packets for taxi drivers and bus drivers, man. That's stupid.
Yeah, I'm okay. I got you. I appreciate you. We run out of time, so I'll say this. It's something that's a careful consideration, because if you just throw the price up, you're going to have ripple effects on tourism and the local economy and all of this. Juan, how come oil prices are now under $100 per barrel, but gas prices remain high? listen to me. Here's why gas prices remain high. Because in the thinking of any oil or energy company, when oil prices go up, gas prices must go higher because we have to protect our profit margins. And the same company's thinking is that when oil prices go down, we must wait as long as possible to bring down gas prices because we don't know when they're going back up again and we got to protect our profit margin. So with them, it's a never lose thing. Now, as far as gas retailers in this country, that's a different story. That's something the government can address. All right, let's do a couple more text messages and we got to go. This says, I want to tell your wife she's doing an outstanding job on the news updates. I'll tell her. This says, Juan, you claim to be a patriotic Bahamian, but it doesn't help the Bahamas by you keeping the name of that company yourself. The person will continue to do it, so it makes you just as bad as them. If you see something, say something. Don't be afraid. It's your patriotic duty. I'll say this. I'm dealing with it another way, as opposed to just publicly saying it on radio. I'm dealing with it with the company itself, because I don't want to say that just because that person worked for the company and they did something that was pretty ridiculous, that that's the company's position. So I'm trying to deal with it with the company before we go deal with it another way. All right. That's going to do it for the show today. All right. It's always good to be here with you. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas, and have a happy Independence Day.